But now let's take a look at not individuals that we would like to change. Let's look at how nonviolent communication can help us transform gangs, gangs that behave in ways we don't like. Some gangs call themselves gangs, street gangs. They're not the ones that scare me the most. Other gangs call themselves multinational corporations. Some gangs call themselves governments. So many of the people that I'm working with around the world, it's not individual behaviors that concern them. It's what these various kinds of gangs are doing. I would hope we all have a consciousness of how gang behavior affects how we are educated, what we carry within ourselves. Let me show you what I mean. I've been suggesting that certain language, certain communication has been very destructive. But where did this come from? Where did this language come from? These moralistic judgments. Where did these tactics of punishment and reward come from? Why do we use them? We learn these tactics because they support certain gang behavior. For example, let's look at our schools. Our schools teach people, according to Michael Katz, an educational historian who studied educational change, and from the history of public education in the United States, about every 20 years, citizens start to get concerned and at great risk make educational changes that are very good from the standpoint of kids learn more, there's less violence in the school. But in these new schools, within 5 years, they're gone. And in his book, Caste Bureaucracy in the Schools, Michael Katz shows why he thinks this is so. He says the problem is the reformers try to show what's wrong with the schools and try to change that. They don't see what's right with them. The schools are doing what they were set up to do, which is to support gang behavior. Which gang? The economic structure gang. The people who control our businesses. They control our schools. They have their own idea of how education should be, which is to do three things in our schools. First, to teach people obedience to authority. So when they get hired, they'll do what they're told. Second, the schools are set up to get people to work for extrinsic rewards. Not because what they're learning is going to enrich their lives, but so they'll get grades, they'll get rewarded, so they'll get better high-paying jobs in the future. If you're going to hire a person in a gang that puts out a product or service that doesn't really serve life, but makes a lot of money for the owners of this gang, you want workers who aren't asking themselves, is this product we're turning out really serving life? No, you don't want them to ask that question. You just want them to do what they're told and to work for a salary. And Michael Katz says the third function of our schools that makes it hard to change them, that they're doing well, is to maintain a caste system and make it look like a democracy. So our educational system is set up so that people from elite positions will continue in an elite position because they already are taught what's mostly taught in the schools before they go into the classroom, so they get the highest grades. So it's not individuals that they want to change, but it's a structure like the schools. They want to transform the schools so that the schools better serve people than the way they're set up. Now, this doesn't mean the teachers within the schools are enemies. No, not at all. They really genuinely want to contribute to children's well-being. There's no enemies here. It's the structure, it's the gang that is the problem. The structures that we have set up to maintain our economy. So one evidence of that is the schools. So we may want to use social change by radically transforming schools. So in several countries now, we're working with citizens and making radical transformations in schools so that schools, the teachers, the students work in harmony with the principles of nonviolent communication. I'm pleased to say we have many such schools now in Serbia, Italy, Israel, Palestine, and we're hopeful how by radically transforming the schools, we will transform the consciousness of the next generation of children. But the schools themselves, I'm suggesting, are controlled by a broader gang, the economic gang, the economic structure gang. So we need to not only change the schools, but we need to realize that the schools are part of a bigger structure. Well, how do we get the energy to do all this work? I mean, how do we work on ourselves to transform the world within ourselves? How do we have human connections with our people around us? And then how do we have enough energy left over to tackle these larger gangs, like the government gangs that are oppressing people, to change the gangs that are controlling our judicial system? I hope by now everybody is aware of the total failure of our punitive structures that are part of our judicial system. We need to transform to restorative justice away from retributive justice. We know from research in the United States in the beginning of our prisons that two people, the same offense, one goes into our prisons and one doesn't. The one that goes into the prison is more likely to behave in a violent way when they get out than one who doesn't. We know that the people who get killed in our capital punishment far more likely be low-income people of different nationalities originally than Americans. We know that this is horrible that this happens, but it's the system, the gang, that needs to change. The individuals within it are not monsters, but it's the gangs we need to change.